Well, tonight we've asked you to come 1 hour early, and obviously you have done so. We're so pleased that you're here. We are just looking forward to one of the finest evenings we've had in a long time tonight. We are going to try in the next few moments that lie ahead of us, prior to our regular evening service, which is also going to be just chock full of exciting things, to present to you the history and the life of First Bible Baptist Church. And so tonight, this is Your Life, First Bible Baptist Church. Now, I'm not Ralph Edwards, but nonetheless, I'm going to try to play the part and communicate to our folks some of the things that have taken place and fill you in on our history and allow you to meet some people that had a significant part in our early beginnings and some other folks that are, of course, very involved even to this day. First Bible Baptist Church, we believe, is a lighthouse to the Northeast. It has been called the largest Sunday school in the Northeast, the friendliest church in town, and some names that cannot be mentioned in public. But whatever is said about First Bible Baptist Church, it can be said that it stands for the absolute authoritative Word of God and its saving and keeping power. Tonight we plan to take a few minutes and tell you how this all came to be. So, First Bible Baptist Church, this is your life. In 1966, our church was only an idea in the mind of its first pastor, Wayne P. Mullen. Brother Mullen was song director and assistant pastor in a church in Fort Worth, Texas, the Friendly Lane Baptist Church. He felt that the Lord had called him to start a work in his own hometown of Hartford, Connecticut. So he proposed to go to Hartford and to look for a location to start a church. Nothing was found, so he returned on a second trip to see if something could be arranged. On the trip, the plane stopped in Rochester to deplane passengers, and Brother Mullen felt compelled to get off and check locations in Rochester. He was in Rochester a few days and decided that this was where the Lord wanted him to start to work. Never been here before, just God was in it. He returned to Fort Worth, sold all his household furnishings except what would fit into a U-Haul truck, and made plans to head for Rochester. He left driving a U-Haul truck, towing a Mustang, a wife driving the family station wagon, 3 sons and 2 cats. He had no monthly support except for $100 a month for 6 months from the church that he was leaving. He did not have a house, a place to live, but knowing that God had called him to Rochester, he knew those things would be provided. When the family arrived in Rochester, the first thing needed was a house. He wanted one large enough to house his family and to use for church meetings. Looking for a realtor, he explained his circumstances. No money. Sounds like a Baptist preacher, don't it? But he would like to rent a place with an option to buy. A raised ranch at 300 Fox Meadow Drive here in Greece was found. This is off Ridge Road near Ridgemont Shopping Center. The first need was met. Next items needed was folding chairs, a piano, and hymn books. The folding chairs were ordered, as were the hymn books. The piano was bought on a trial basis, rent for so many months, and keep it if you like, no money down, of course. Well, that same piano is still serving First Bible Baptist Church today. It is in one of our Sunday school rooms, with many coats of paint, but it is still playing. The next step was to place an ad in the daily paper that a fundamental church was started and see if any responses could be obtained that way. The first Sunday in town, while they were settling in, Brother Mullen and family attended church at the Faith Baptist Church on Buffalo Road, and there met Brother Bill Woodward, who was pastor there at that time. Brother Woodward loaned chairs and hymnals so the church could start its services. Brother Woodward was later to be associate pastor at First Bible Baptist Church and is now a missionary to the country of Haiti. He and his family are here with us tonight. Amen. Mary and Bill, God bless you. It's been a joy for you to have a part in our ministry and for us to have a part in yours. And as God continues to use you in Haiti, we will continue to support you and pray for you and ask God's blessings upon you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Now that all the need for a service were met, First Bible Baptist Church held its first meeting on Wednesday night, December the 1st, 1966, at 300 Fox Meadow Drive. You can imagine the anticipation of the whole Mullen family as they watched the clock draw closer to 7 o'clock to see if anyone would come. Well, someone did come, and they are here with us tonight. Bob and Marge Stoddard. Amen, Bob.
Praise the Lord, preacher.
Amen. Your wife is off taking care of some loved ones.
Yes.
Amen. But you're here.
Yeah.
Bob's our first church member.
Amen.
Deacon at First Bible Baptist Church, still here 12 and a half years later. Amen. Isn't that great?
Amen.
God bless you, Bob.
Thank you.
Recognizing that great things start from little, First Bible Baptist Church got set for a record crowd on the first Sunday. Remember, anything's a record on your first Sunday. Sure enough, the first Sunday there were three families there. The five Mullins, the four Stoddards, and a family of four by the name of Ware. A total of 13 people. What a blessing. Someone else was missing that needed to make a good service, a piano player. Brother Mullen contacted Roberts Wesleyan College and got a senior student who played the piano to come each Sunday and play. Her name was Phyllis Van Otten. She played for the church for approximately 6 weeks. However, one Sunday of that time, the piano suddenly stopped playing during the invitation because Phyllis was at the altar getting saved. I like things like that, don't you? The third Sunday, another great influx of people. Bob Stoddard had invited his boss. The Sam Reed family came and was later saved, and they are still here with us after 13 years. Sam and Jean Reed, amen. Sam drives one of our buses. They've both been so faithful in our ministry. Jean, Sam, God bless you both. Amen. With that spurt of growth came, Also that same Sunday, the Duane Motley family came, and they are still here with us after almost 13 years. Amen. Nancy, and of course Duane just has been on our staff for 2 weeks now. Duane is going to be the director of our North Star Bible Institute. And things are really steamrolling ahead in that direction. Well, that spurt of growth came growing pains. A nursery was needed. Sunday school classes were needed. So the adults met in the den for Sunday school. And this was where the church services were also held. The teens met in the living room. The primary and junior classes met in a sub-basement that reminded you of the catacombs of the Dark Ages. Tables for the kids were two old doors set across sawhorses or apple crates. Duane Motley taught the teens, Bob Stoddard taught the juniors, and Nancy Motley all the little ones. We have two of the first teenagers that were in that class the first Sunday the teen class met. Bob Stoddard Jr. was one of them. He had to work tonight, but he's still here in our ministry, faithfully involved. And the other was a young man whose God has long since called away, but a young man by the name of Cal Robinson, his wife Lynn. Where are the Robinsons? Here they are. Amen. So glad to see Lynn and Cal. God bless you for the part, Cal, that you had in the early days of our church. Of course, Cal Robinson became a very important part of our church because he became the church pianist. He was a high school boy, Marshall High School, right, at that time. And he played for the church until he went away to college. What a memory of Cal playing for the piano, crying for lost souls, wanting to see people saved. Cal, why don't you play something for us right now, will you please?
Thank you.
All right, that's great, isn't it? Well, the church progressed. We have only one person left that was in that junior Sunday school class that first Sunday it was held. And that's Jenny Stoddard. She's no longer a little junior girl. She's a married young lady. Jenny and her husband, Gary. Gary came to us a few years later as a teenage boy and been involved in our ministry for several years, both of them. That's something. Little junior girl. Things do change, don't they? God bless you, Gary. Jenny, thank the Lord for you. The beginner and the primary class was together the first few weeks, and we still have with us two from that class. Now remember, these were beginners and primaries. And now they're teenagers, Debbie Reed and Jason Motley. Where are you, kids? There they are. There's Jason. Debbie. There's Debbie. Amen. Great. God bless you both. And oh, the nursery. Got to have a nursery. Our church couldn't function without a nursery. We'd have to close the doors. There were three babies in the first nursery. All of them were 3 months old. The nursery was solved by the laundry room. The room was approximately 6 foot long and 4 foot wide with a washer and a dryer in it. If you had a toddler visit, you must sit up on the washer and dryer and watch where you step so that you did not mash your finger. However, it sure saves steps, ladies. We have two of those first three babies still with us. They are now 13 years old. Andrea Motley and Donna Reed. Where are you, girls? Amen, Donna. It's embarrassing you being in front of all these people. You didn't know any better when you were 3 months old, did you? There you are now, girls. I'm proud of you both. These girls have literally grown up in First Bible Baptist Church, haven't they? Amen. God bless you, girls. Well, after a month, it was obvious that a place had to be fixed to meet because it was already crowded in the den for Sunday services. So the men of the church fixed up the garage in the house as a chapel. The walls were paneled, a platform built, and a carpet put down. It was a beautiful chapel. It would seat about 80 people jammed in. This proved to be room enough for only 3 months, and then crowded conditions were there again. We have some people who were very important in this ministry that started coming during those first 3 months. Some have come a very long ways with us. First, we have the Davis family, Stan and Judy Davis. Where are the Davises? Amen. Many of you don't know Stan and Judy because several years ago the Lord called them out to California. I think it was the Lord. Had to get that in, didn't I? Judy, the Lord bless you. The Davises were the first people to work with our teenagers in our church. Stan was not hired by the church in that capacity, but it became a full-time thing with them, and they did an outstanding job. They will always be remembered by this church. It set the groundwork for an active, solid, soul-winning teenage ministry for years to come. Other families that came during those first 3 months are still with us today. Nellie Winterstein. Where are you, Nellie? Here's Nellie. Nellie and Susie, precious people, God bless you ladies. Of course you know Nellie and Al came. Al's in heaven now. But they were part of this ministry. Some other people who've been a great deal to us who came those first 3 months are the Malcolm family. Duke and Rose Malcolm. Where are the Malcolms? Here they are. Now, right here, not so much Rosie, but Duke, is a living example of the fact that if Duke can get saved, anybody can get saved. Amen. I'll tell you, the first baptisms, or some of the first baptisms in this church, were held in the Malcolm's Pond. They live out in the country, out in Hilton, and they have a pond in their front yard, and a lot of the folks in this church got baptized in that pond. And then, of course, the Malcolm's son and daughter-in-law, Walt and Jerry Malcolm, came the first 3 months of that ministry, and you know Walt and Jerry, and where are they? You do know Walt and Jerry. There they are. What were you doing in that dark room? Well, Walt wants you to say something, Jerry. Yes, I know. Walt's what we call our facilities pastor. He's been on our staff for several years now. He's been associated with this ministry from its inception. Walt does a fantastic job of doing what very few people could do, and that's a little bit of everything. If it's broken, Walt fixes it. If it needs to be built, Walt builds it. Just unbelievable, the capabilities and the talents that God has given him, and I appreciate his attitude. I think he knows he has these talents, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he came to me once several years ago, and he said, I'd like to use the talents that God has given me for the Lord. And he does that. While you're home in bed and snuggled up in your warm covers on a winter Sunday morning, Walt Malcolm's out here on a tractor plowing snow. And there's so many, many things that he does for our ministry. Well, there's some other people that came those first 3 months and have been with us all these years and so faithful. Ralph and Thelma Sharp. The Sharps. Where are the Sharps? Here are the Sharps. Here's some fine folks. If you don't know them, you need to get to know them. They're kind of quiet. They don't say much. They sit in the background. But bless you, Thelma. Ralph. God bless you, sir. Ralph was a great blessing to me when we built Circle 7 Ranch. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But Ralph took just an unbelievable amount of time and helped me. I had to be an architect, an engineer, a contractor, a carpenter, and everything. I really didn't know very much about any of it. And without Ralph's help, I don't think we'd ever got it done. And there's a lot of people that have had a big part in things that you just don't know anything about. The ceiling that's over your head, Ralph hung it. So if it falls down, it's his fault. And that really, seriously, unless you've tried it, you can't even imagine. You can't even begin to appreciate the difficulty of laying out a ceiling in a square fashion this big and making it come out right. But he did it. And Ralph's been a blessing. And his wife, Thelma, to our church. And then there was another couple that came. They're no longer in our ministry. God has moved them out of town since. But they're here with us today. And we're glad they came the first 3 months. And that's Dave and Sarah Shell. The Shells are here. And they live down in Geneva now, I believe, right? Down at the top of Seneca Lake, lake trout capital of the world. I ought to visit you folks more often, really.
God bless you, folks. So glad you could be with us.
Amen. After 3 months, it was again obvious that the chapel would not be sufficient to hold all the people, so other arrangements had to be made. Since the neighbors were complaining to the town fathers about all the noise, you know how Baptists are, And all the cars around the house on Fox Meadow, and since one of the town fathers lived next door to the Fox Meadow house, it was arranged for the church to meet at the Grease Town Hall. This is located at Long Pond and Ridge Road. This was used on Saturday night by a group that played cards. What a mess. Every Sunday morning, a full cleanup crew had to be arranged to clean up the place. It meant moving everything each Sunday for each class. The Sunday school teachers carried all their supplies and teaching aids back and forth each Sunday. The nursery was set up in the kitchen in the basement. Porta cribs were used, and a note was sent to each parent telling them to please send their children in old play clothes that dirt would not hurt. Can you imagine running the Sunday school that way? Had no choice. Of course, when you got a visitor's child, you either carried the child around or kept it in a bed so that it would be clean when the mother appeared. Once they got saved, it was on the floor and eat the dirt with the other kids. The saved kids are tough, right? A nursery superintendent was needed at this time, and Shirley Hutter was chosen for that job. The Hutters could not be with us as they are on vacation this week, but they're still in our ministry. It was also time for a bus ministry. Just before moving out of the house, Brother Mullen took $500 he had in the bank and bought a used 1951 Ford bus. It was started down in the city, and that was the beginning of the bus ministry at First Bible Baptist Church. Anytime you wanted to start the bus, it had to be pushed. Not always?
No. We used to park it on the hill behind Woodbine Drive.
Oh. Park it on the hill, yeah. Music was always an important part to our church. The first choir was in the house with six people. That is all that would fit on the little platform. First choir special was, there is going to be a meeting in the air. When the choir opened its mouth to sing, it sounded just as grand in that little garage as our large choir does in our building today. Once moving into the town hall, Walt and Pat Barnett came to the church, and very shortly Walt took over the choir and directed the choir for First Bible Baptist Church whenever needed until he left last year to take over as minister of visitation and music at the Cleveland Baptist Church. A great church, a soul-winning church. Well, they're back with us tonight.
Amen.
And we're so glad they are. And I can still tease Walt about being bald, but I don't. He's lost so much weight, I don't know if I can tease him about being fat or not. I have to find something else to pick on, won't I? Amen. They're here. Their music has always been a blessing. And they're going to come sing for us a song, I think, that you used to sing back in the old days, right? Back in 02 and 03 before the war. Right?
It's a wonderful, wonderful day when you know.
Living by faith was the principle that this church was built upon. Brother Mullen came by faith. The $100 a month support that he was promised, he never received. However, God somehow always met his needs and the needs of his family. However, the greatest test of faith by the church was about to be put to the test. Land had been found on North Greece Road. Seemed to be exactly what the church needed, and there was a house that could be bought with the land for the preacher to live in. $15,000 were needed to close the deal on the land. One Sunday night, Brother Mullen told the then approximately 12 families that the money was needed. A maiden lady named Yolanda DeMarco raised her hand and said that she was saving money for a new car and that she would keep her car for another year and that she would give $1,000. Brother Mullen said that he did not have any money, but he could borrow. If he could borrow it, he would donate $1,000. That set the ball rolling. The other men in the church either pledged so much money or borrowed so much money. Before the evening was another 30 minutes old, the $15,000 was raised and secured. The land that First Bible Baptist Church now sits on today was purchased with some money that some of the people on this stage actually borrowed and took years to repay. That's living by faith. The house was bought personally by the Mullen family, and so the entire piece of property was now set aside for the use of the church. To pay for the building that is now known as building number one, that's that one over there, the church decided to sell bonds. The bond program was kicked off with a banquet in the basement of the house. which is now our church offices. There are two poems that were read at that banquet that shows the spirit of the people. Nancy Motley is going to come and read those poems for us.
I really only brought one because of shortness of time. You'd forgotten this, but you'll remember. When your name is mentioned in the poem, why don't you stand up, you guys up here? Because they've forgotten. Now remember, we were very dignified back then. It wasn't like it was today. The title of, I read this poem, by the way, 13 years ago. The Reform by the Devil. There was a man in our town, and Mullen was his name, who cried, churches in this town are a sinful shame. He called us members in and said, by Jove, we're overrun. Let's have a cleaning up and build a church for fun. The members of our church responded to the call. Beneath the banner of reform, we gathered, one and all. We sent away for men experts in selling stocks and bonds to ask these practiced gentlemen just how this should be done. The experts came to our town and told us how 'twas done. Begin with prayer and money, and half your fight is won. Begin with prayer and money, the rest will follow soon. We looked at one another and hummed a different tune. Said Davis, prayer takes time and preaching money is a shame. Said Barnett, practicing such things could give this church a bad name. Said Motley, our church needs a committee, and we're witnessing too much to please. Now, would it not be wiser to start reform with these? The men who came to our town replied, no haste with these. Begin with prayer and money, and this will plant the seed. We looked at one another and hemmed and hawed a bit. Enthusiasm faded then from every single sit. The men who came to our town expressed a mild surprise. Then they, too, at each other looked with a wild surmise. Davis had no time for prayer, and Barnett sure no extra money. And Motley worries over committee meetings. Things sure do look funny. The members of our church, we still meet in town hall as before. And the people have become stale because we can grow no more. Still, we have gilded plans, foul palaces of shame. Reform is just as distant as when we first began. All because of prayer and money, all the devil's game.
Well, those are some of the things that were taking place a long time ago. $175,000 worth of bonds needed to be sold. Construction was started and the building was completed in November of 1968. What a proud day to meet in facilities of our own instead of a dirty public building. It was one of the happiest days in the history of First Bible Baptist Church. Some of the families that came to the church during the building of building number one are still with us. Let me tell you something, it takes character to join a church during a building program. Amen? You just figure you're going to get socked real good when you join a church during a building program. And nonetheless, these families did. They're still with us. Quickly, I'll read their names. They'll simply come to the platform. Bill and Joan Barlow. Don and Millie Idler. Here are the Barlows. Here's one Barlow. Your wife divorced you?
Yes.
And the Idlers, John and Carol Green. Amen. Daryl and Shirley Zickafoos. Dick and Joan Hughes. Gene and Fred Love. And Ted and Betsy Mowry. All these folks came during the building program of building number one and are still with us today. One of the nicest things about having clean facilities was the nursery. Shirley Hutter assumed other responsibilities at this time, and Nancy Motley took over the nursery. She held this position until other responsibilities made it impossible for her to continue. The Lord had already prepared someone else to do the job. The Mike Mateka family came to First Bible Baptist Church. Irene took over the nursery. They are both with us tonight and have served in just about every capacity in this church. And whenever they have been called upon, they have responded. Mike and Irene, take it. God bless you, Mike and Irene. Thank the Lord for you both. They've had a busy year. Fantastic growth continued once in the building. In less than a year after completion of building number one, it was again apparent that this building would not hold all the people. Building two was considered and a second bond program sold to build the building. The building was completely done by a contractor, except for a few minor things. It was completed in 1970. This allowed increased growth as it was necessary. 1969, a full-time youth pastor was invited to join the staff, and that was when Sharon and I came to work in this ministry. 10 years ago, next week, as a matter of fact. And where's my wife? Is she here? There she is. Thank you so much. Be seated. It was a struggle for us. We actually came here first to preview the work upon Brother Mullen's invitation. He first began discussing this position with us in May of 1968, right? Faithful help me keeps you straightened out on these things, you know. And we labored with the idea. We were quite happy in the ministry God had given us in Wichita, Kansas. And we came here, just Sharon and I flew up for a few days to look at this church in November of 1968 at the invitation of Brother Mullen and the church. And the first thing they had planned for us was a youth activity. And the Greens and the Davises. Remember that. Our first youth activity was a hayride. Now, I was plenty used to hayrides. I'd been on dozens of them. But not in a blizzard. And that's what it was. That was our first impression of First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester, a blizzard. It was horrible. It really was. But we had a great time in spite of it. And we deliberated upon it. It was a very difficult decision for us, but a very long story made short is we came in August of 1969. That was 10 years ago. It's been a long time. Thank you, sweet lady. Thank you. After moving from Wichita and coming here, our pastor saw the need of a camping program and a camp of our own. Duke Malcolm, who you've already been introduced to, owned a piece of land overlooking Honeyway Lake on Cannadice Hill. This land was used by Duke and his family and friends for deer hunting and had been in the family for many, many years. And Duke and his family felt led of the Lord to give this land to the church. And so they did. And the pastor commissioned me to build the Circle 7 Ranch. The camp was started in the spring of 1971. And it was completed in December. Completed in December of 1971. All the work was done by the men of the church. Because some of you have never seen the camp, we're going to show it to you on the screen. And we only have about 10 slides. We're not going to bore you, but maybe I'll just quickly tell you what you're looking at. We're going to have flip about 10 slides through here. The Circle 7 Ranch. That's the camp under construction. That's one end of a large A-frame. The pictures are deceiving. You have to be there to really get a sense of appreciation for it. It's a 40-foot equilateral triangle building. The telephone pole construction is 40-foot long, and it's quite a thing. Our men did a fabulous job. That's one end of it. That's the fireplace that you're looking at. That's one of the scenes that you get looking at Honey Oil Lake. Going to the land, you see up through the cut there, two mountains, one on the left, one on the right, and our camp's actually located right on the pinnacle of the mountain on the right-hand side. And that's from an airplane. I think maybe that was one time when Ted Mowry and I were flying around up there trying to take some pictures. That's our view from the camp area looking back north on Honey Oil Lake. Beautiful. And that is the, from again an airplane shot, from, that's looking down at the state park, which is immediately adjacent to our camp, and that's the turnaround in the park. And our camp is located next to about 500 acres of state park, and the state maintains a picnic area and a road, and it's very convenient for us. God has blessed us in that location. And you can see the road leading into the state park, the turnaround, and then off to the right of the road, and just about the center of your picture from the air, is our building and camp. That's not too distinguishable, but you can see it there. Well, there's the beginning of the construction. Now, to get an idea of the mammoth size of the thing, we now have, by the way, three floors in our A-frame. That's how big it is. We've just completed a new construction project this spring. There's three floors in at least a portion of it. And you see how small these guys look against those 40-foot power poles and a tongue and groove 2x6 decking that's going up beside it. And that's up toward the peak. And you see some fellas that are still involved in our church, Daryl Ziegefuss and Dale Garrett, there hanging up in the air about 40 foot up, being very brave. And again, another construction picture. By the way, folks, God, just as He's underwritten every project in our church, when we started the Circle 7 Ranch, we had a vision and a dream, $1,000 and a chainsaw, and that was it. That's all we had. And God somehow provided as we went. Our camping program is so successful. Junior 2 camp starts tomorrow, our 5th and 6th graders, and we're going to have how many there, Hal? Hal's off in the side room somewhere. Approximately 80 5th and 6th graders this next week at the Circle 7 Ranch. There's another construction shot. That's what it looked like from the top looking down, pulling the boards up. Gives you another idea of what was involved. I thank God over and over again for our faithful men who helped us build that thing. Without them, we could have never done it. That's tough to see, even. It's because of the light. That was, again, before completion, our dining hall, meeting area, lights hanging there, still bare insulation on the walls. When we moved, I said we completed the camp in December of 1971. That was a partial completion. We nailed the last board on to keep the snow and the outside air from coming in. At 7 o'clock, Christmas Eve, 1971, the day after Christmas, we had our first camp. And so we still had a lot of undone things, but God enabled us to do it. We still would like to make progress there. But there's the top floor, what is now, that whole area now is divided into rooms just this year. And there's several guest rooms, staff quarters, so on and so forth. There we were. I don't know what we were doing. Oh, you know who that fella is? With a 6 foot wide mouth. And the suspenders in the black shirt. That's Brother Gomez. Just in case you didn't know. I'm not even sure if I can tell who everyone else is, but there we are. Building bunks, I think, is what we were doing there. There's the bunk construction. And every slide series has to end with a sunset. Amen. Okay. Oh, we got something else. Hark, sunrise through the trees. What else we got there? Oh, revelry. Time to get up. Part of the program. Okay. Tough to see. That's the dark of the woods. What else we got, Jim? That's it. Okay. Amen. That's the camp. Building the camp and handling the youth ministry really kept me more than busy, as you can appreciate. Due to the increased load, it was decided to hire another youth pastor, and I would be associate pastor and camp director. The young man called to take over the youth ministry was Harry Jackson. Brother Jackson served in that capacity until 1974. During this time, he also headed up the camping program one summer. Brother Jackson could not be with us this day. I wish he could, but he is now pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Fairfield, California. Amen. The church began to reorganize during this time that it was lacking in, the church began to recognize during this time that it was lacking in one area of Christian training, a Christian day school. Therefore, the church decided to start a full-time school. A young man was called to be its director. His name is Jim Cunningham. Jim and his wife Marilyn are with us tonight from Niagara Falls, Ontario, where he is pastor of the First Bible Baptist Church of Niagara Falls. The school was called God and Country School and used an ACE program and opens the doors to students in September of 1972. It contained grades 2 through 10 the first year. The second year, it increased the program to kindergarten through 12th grade for a full educational program. In 1975, the school was changed from ACE program to the standard traditional classroom situation. When Brother Cunningham left his position to start his church in Canada, Mr. Mill Seaman came to be director. He served in this position for 3 years. Starting the September term of this year, a man that has been in our church for 11 years will head up the school. His name is Nick Fabry. Nick is not able to be with us tonight, but you are also very, very familiar with Nick and Nancy. In 1972, another family who would help shape the history of First Bible Baptist Church got saved. Brother George Grace was saved in August of 1972. And after... After 6 months, he felt the Lord wanted him as a staff member of First Bible Baptist Church. He went to Brother Mullen and told him that he would come on the staff by faith. If he could be paid, it would be fine, but if not, that was fine too. He would trust the Lord and God would provide. He was shortly placed as bus pastor and later on as youth pastor as Brother Harry Jackson was leaving to start a work in Chicago. And of course, he's still with our church today. Brother George is my right arm around here. It would be just almost impossible for me to function without him. He does so many things for me, and I can't tell you how much I love him and appreciate him and what he means to our church. And by the way, Brother George is driving something different. Brother George is driving a little blue car around these days. It's a two-seater, little economy model. I don't want anybody to be critical of that. I'll tell you why. Several people got together out of their pocket, not out of the church's money, and gave that to Brother George. And I can't think of anybody that deserves it more. Amen. In 1972, I believe the Lord was dealing with me to start a church, and so I went to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and started one. Upon making my intentions known, another family in First Bible Baptist Church, actually they had been in First Bible Baptist Church, decided that they would move. The Harley Keck family was, Harley was electrical engineer for Eastman Kodak. Kodak had moved him to Greeley, Colorado. And the Kecks found out we were going to Green Bay, and they called me and said we'd like to go, have a part in it. And the Kecks, by faith, moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin with us. And so we started a church together. Amen. Harley pastors in Green Bay to this day and has done an absolutely marvelous work. Amen. There, and I thank the Lord for him. The Kecks. Someone else that God has used out of this ministry. Thank the Lord for him. Harley. Upon our departure from Green Bay, coming back here to assume the responsibility of pastor in December of 1973, Harley assumed that work and has just gone on and done some great things. During the growth and expansion of the church, the bus ministry was very active. At one time, 14 buses were run. Many people have helped to make this a success. However, one man has come to stand as a testimony of what someone can do with the bus ministry, and of course that man is Ed Kane. Ed has a young lady with him tonight that you need to know. This is his niece, Kelly. Kelly's mother used to teach in our school. They've since moved to Idaho, and she's back here visiting. We're so glad you're here. Amen. God bless you, Brother Ed. Ed has served as our bus pastor since 1974. He's so constant and faithful to his ministry. All the children know that Mr. Kane loves them and cares for them and wants them to come to Sunday school. Another person who proved faithful in the bus ministry is Mr. Frank Hutchison. Frank has driven a bus since 1968. Amen. He has certainly proved faithful to his position. Another staff member was added to the church in 1973, an assistant pastor to take care of the many details, among others, the finances. A young man who joined the staff to handle this, along with assuming so many other duties, and was such a help to me for several years, 5 years to be exact, is with us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Mike and Mary Hunter. Mary's scared to death thinking to make her say something. Oh, my. Mike served as our associate pastor for 5 years. And he left and started to work in Las Vegas in 1978. And by the way, they're just doing super out there, running about 200 in Sunday school in just a little over a year. I think it's marvelous. About this time, another assistant pastor was added to take charge of the Sunday school and visitation. His name is Fred Simpson. Upon leaving First Bible Baptist Church, Fred started Calvary Baptist Church in Irondequoit. Another unique ministry was added to First Bible Baptist Church, a young Cuban. That's the nicest thing I've said about him in a long time. He and I have a lot of fun with one another. We're friends. We love one another. This fellow was saved, and his name is Louis Gomez. Louis got a burden for the Spanish-speaking people and was sent out from this church, and he started a Spanish-speaking church in this city. Brother Lou is a real friend in the Lord. Did you ever hear the story of Ferdinand? You can sit down. In October of 1973, Brother Mullen resigned his position as pastor of First Bible Baptist Church. I had been invited to preach at the church and was led of the Lord to take over the direction and the leadership of this church. Of course, many difficulties were faced. Debts were needed to be cleared and erased, and God undertook, and the church continued to grow. It was evident in 1975 that the present facility was not going to be adequate, so the building that we are in tonight was planned and gears set in motion to erect. A unique plan for paying for the church was instituted as what we called our loan fund. The people of the church let the church use their money, and the church pays them interest for using it. The outside structure of the building was paid for by this method. It was completed in September 1976, and the people of the church did all the interior work and facilities necessary to maintain the building. It was completed in September, and services held in the new building on Sunday the 12th. What a grand and glorious day it was to have a building that would not only seat 1,200 people, but serve as a gym and an auditorium for the school. Music has always played an important part of the ministry of our church. We have introduced to you the first choir director, Walt Barnett. In the 13 years that the church existed, three other choir directors were employed. Mr. Bill Avon, now with Al Young Enterprises in Detroit, Michigan. Mr. Ray Hart, now with the Curtis Hudson Crusades. And last fall, a young man was hired to fill the position and is the present choir and music director, Preston, and his wife, Sue Saunders. Where are the songs? Many choir members have made the choir what it is today. Each of them cannot be recognized, but without them, this music would never be. A special thanks to each person who sings in the choir now or any time in the past in our church. One person has served in a special way in the music program. That person came to the church while a building was being built. At that time, the church had only one piano and no organ. However, upon completion of the first building, an organ was to be installed, but no one was around to play it. The Lord sent this dear lady to us, and she has played the organ ever since. The first Sunday, and an organ was played in this church. Of course, you all know who it is, and she still plays our organ today, Doris Hutchinson. Another important person in our music is a man who plays the piano for the choir and arranges all the instrumental music. This man is Mike Payne. And his dear wife, Jo Lynn. I have another important member of my staff to introduce to you, some folks who have really grown in the Lord and learned to be a real right arm. Runs our camp and so many other aspects of our ministry, and that's Brother Hal Roscoe and his dear wife, Kathy. Brother Hal has set a record for running the camp ministry longer than any other person. He's on his fourth year with the camp. And every year he learns a little and it gets a little better and the program improves, and I'm really, really excited about what he's doing. In every organization behind the scenes, you have many office personnel working to keep the paperwork flowing, and brother, we have it. Part-time secretaries were used by the church until 1970. At that time, a lady by the name of Mary Kennedy was hired. Mary cannot be with us, but she is going to be with us in September, visiting with us. She's an old friend of our family. Following her was Maisie Whitmore and the present secretary, Bev McCoy. Where's Mrs. McCoy? Two other ladies that worked to keep this ministry running smoothly. Lady that now does our bookkeeping, our financial secretary, is a real asset and a blessing. Is Dorothy Kettenberg. Where is Dorothy? Dorothy? Another dear, precious saint of God that runs our bookstore is Eleanor Tubb. Where is Eleanor? Another area we'd like to recognize in this program is the poor, unsung custodian. The building always has to have someone to keep them clean. The church has always had a part-time and full-time custodians. One of these men, Brother John Tubb, went to Las Vegas with Brother Mike Matovich to help start to work there. Brother John could not be with us tonight, but his wife, Belle, is here. Belle Tubb. We'd also like to recognize our present custodian, a man who's worked very hard, particularly these past 2 weeks. He's labored. The way you're dressed, you ought to speak to Brother Matovich about employment. Never a dull moment around here. A part of the ministry that will interest you ladies is our ladies' Bible study. This was started in a ladies' home originally. However, since this is a Bible study held by the church and sponsored by the church, it was moved to the church building. And ever since moving to Rochester, Dorothy Namir has been teaching that. And Dorothy and Leon, where are you? Leon came to us 2 years before Dorothy, and before he moved the family here because of an unusual work situation. And Leon immediately went to work in our bus ministry, and he's been faithfully serving in that capacity ever since. In August of 1978, another exciting ministry started at First Bible Baptist Church. The deaf had been a part of the services for several years, but had never had their own pastor. Brother Phil Boyd was called to assume that position, has done a marvelous job with the deaf. Here's Brother Phil Boyd. someone going to interpret for them? Yeah, go sit down. Okay. Michael, interpret for you. The Lord laid it on my heart to educate the young men of our church after high school, if God had called them to preach and into the Lord's work. So many of our boys went off to Bible college to come home confused and discouraged about some of the so essential doctrinal matters. So Brother Dwayne Motley was hired to be the administrator of the North Star Bible Institute. It will begin its first classes in September of this year. First Bible Baptist Church, this is your life. However, only your past life. Right off, I want it to be known that each of you are just as important as these folks that are on the platform tonight. The church cannot continue without your efforts, prayers, and support. We have simply tried to fill you in on a little bit of our history and give you a glimpse of the things that have taken place. We're looking to greater things in the future. And each of you sitting out there tonight will help in building the First Bible Baptist Church of the future. This church is not my church per se. It's not just our church, dear friends. It's the Lord's church. Amen. And as God's church, we want to be faithful in doing that which God would have us to do. I'm so glad you're here tonight. I trust you've received a blessing. And you've had a blessed opportunity just to get a glimpse of what our history has been about. Now, we're running a little bit late, but when have we ever been in a hurry? This is an air-conditioned building. According to my watch, it's now 6:20. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to be dismissed, and you can take a break, whatever you'd like. And we are going to start our service at 6:30 sharp. Okay, now, you folks that are singing in the choir, if you'll make your way as quickly as possible to wherever it is that you're supposed to be. And these two front rows right here, this front row and this front row, how many seats do the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11? Okay, that's exactly what, no, I need 13. Okay. I need this front row right here. If you folk that are sitting here, if you could kindly find another place to sit, I'd appreciate it. And if all of you ordination candidates, you and your wives, will come and be seated in this front row right here, and then I'll need 3 or 4 seats right here for them also. If you'll leave them open for them, if you'll make your way and sit in those places, we'll begin. Now, choir, come. You may have to sit in the choir loft during the services to accommodate everyone, because as you can see, our choir loft is full now. We're pretty full out there. So as many choir members as can, if you'll just make arrangements to do that, as many of you as will, just to plan on being up here throughout the entire service. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll start in 10 minutes. If all the baptismal candidates will convene in this room on my right and your left immediately. Baptismal candidates, right over here.